welcome once again to the Ramley Matters podcast. I'm your host, Ishmael Sistrunk, the Executive Director of Communications. And with me today, I have one of our wonderful building leaders. We have Mr. Dominic Lenoir, principal of Danforth Elementary School. Welcome to the show.
Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, life is wonderful. Life is wonderful.
Good, good. And so I'd like to jump right into it. I know you've been a face around the district for a while, been in several different roles. So you just want to tell the people who you are and, you know, how long you've been in Riverview Gardens.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm Dominic Lenoir, principal of Danforth Elementary Academy, the Dragons. Right now, I came into the district in 2016 as an assistant principal here at Riverview Gardens High School. After that, I moved over to Westview Middle School as the principal for 4 years, and now I am currently the principal of Danforth Elementary. And so I've served on every level in the school district.
Impressive, right?
Yes,
high school, middle school, elementary.
Yes, sir.
And so what are some of the things that you've learned, or what are some of the different experiences that you've had on the different levels?
Wow. So when you look at the different levels, high school is where the students are getting ready to head off into their careers in life and what's going on. So that's a good place where you can have conversations about just life in general and how to move forward. And as you get to middle school, I could probably you are trying to help them transition from become their mindsets from elementary to secondary and getting them prepared to head to the high school level. And then elementary is just all love. You are considered the rock star of the building. And so that is so much fun being around elementary students. They show you so much love, even with the colds and all the germs that they bring. They make sure that they hug you every day. So it's wonderful. I love it.
Yeah, and that's one thing I always notice, especially when I come over to Danforth. It's like wherever you go, it's kids rushing in, you know, giving you hugs. That seems like their favorite thing to do. And you're you know, sort of receptive of it.
Exactly.
And you speak to the kids and smile at them and talk to them. And
they kept me sniffling the first year, but I've built up an immunity now, so I'm good. I'm Teflon from the germs.
Right. And I guess that's not the same on the middle school and the high school level, right?
School level, totally.
Kids aren't running up on you.
Yeah, you give them high fives and keep it moving.
That is funny. And so, like, what are some of the things that you've done at Danforth over the past 2 years? I know that, you know, you often like to bring in educational opportunities, you know, ways to get the kids up and moving and different dances and things like that. So tell us about some of those events that you have.
I am a believer in providing experiences for our scholars. A lot of times, I mean, often, well, the majority of the time, our students are sitting in the classroom and just working, but bringing opportunities for them to see the different type of careers that could be out there, the different type of activities that they can be involved in. I'm always trying to promote to the parents to get students involved. So we've brought some, we've brought in the iKarate, where the students are learning about self-discipline and self-defense, and they love it. We've brought in Building Futures, which is a kind of carpentry, learning how to use simple tools like coping saws, and they're making little projects. So it's more of learning how to work with projects, project-based. We've brought in COCA, which is the arts, dance, music. The students got to learn to do circus performance, and now they're working on dance. After school programs, we have choir, cooking club, art club, the robotics program. Our students have competed down in the robotics competition. They are so amped. They're going to do some work over the summer.
Okay.
So that We also are going to visit the Central Middle School because Central Middle School is doing some great things with their robotics, and it's like a next level thing. So our right. kids are excited to go over there. So, and that was another opportunity to provide exposure for our kids to see actually not only are they doing robotics in elementary, when you go to the middle school, when you go over to Central, you're going to be really doing some cool stuff. So that's one of those things where it just tying it in and giving our scholars a sense of pride of even into their school district and believing how far they can go. And I think the high school is actually has a robotics team that has done some wonderful things too. And I believe last year or the year before, they actually won a competition or two.
Wow,
so nice. Those are the type of things that we want to provide for our scholars. We want to provide them experiences. And the experiences, you know, I believe in not companies coming to our building and sitting down and just speaking to our kids while in the classroom. I believe in, you know, if you want to really support our students, get out and bring them to your place of business. Let them right. tour. Let them see yeah. what do you do. So those kids, when they get that opportunity and see people that look like them in certain positions, or they get to see certain operations going, like if they were at Boeing and seeing an airplane build, kids, you know, their right. imagination yeah. started going, well, I want to do this, and how do I do this? So that's the most important, is providing our scholars with the opportunity and the experiences. And a lot of times when we have summer programs or any type of after school opportunities that's outside of our district, I promote them heavily to our parents to get them enrolled.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And it's important, and it's not just, you know, you're not just doing activities for the sake of doing activities.
Exactly.
I mean, these are learning opportunities. These are enrichment opportunities. Like you said, things that'll help them grow, help them imagine, and help them learn, help them do better in school, you know, to have those opportunities. So I think that's amazing. What are some of the other things that you're doing over at Danforth? Or actually, let me pivot. I know that. So one thing I thought just early on in meeting you and, you know, having conversations, initially I thought you were like a history major because you are a big history buff, you know, a ton of facts. It turns out that you actually are a math guy.
Exactly.
But tell me a little bit about, you know, your history or your affinity for history or just knowing facts, especially Black history and, you know, just sharing that knowledge.
Yes, I am definitely that person that if you go to the museum with me, don't expect me to just look at an exhibit and just keep moving. I'm the one that reads the whole placard.
Everyone.
And everyone is looking like, come on, let's go. I'm like, well, hold on, I want to read this. So, wow, my affinity for history, I just love to learn. And within that love to learn, just history is one that you can really see, learn from everyone's different perspective. You can see, really get a idea of how life was or how things happened. I always wish that I had a time machine because it would be so many things. You know, it was funny. We were just, before we start this interview, I was like, I wonder how this campus was
right.
when they first built it.
Yeah.
You know, just it's always been an interest of mine. And so with that being said, I've done, as my son would say, I've learned a lot of useless knowledge sometimes, you know, but, yeah, so it's just one of those things that, you know, they do have the saying that if you don't know where you've been, you don't know where you're going. But, to truly, learn, I learned a lot about, my ancestors, and my fathers and my grandfather before me and relatives that are who actually were in education and are pivotal in historical events that has happened in the past. And so when you learn it, you realize that you come from greatness. And so that kind of motivates me to even do better when right. I find out that and some of my ancestors has done some amazing things within their lifetime.
Gotcha. And how, because I imagine you share stories with the kids and the students, and how receptive are they, or what's it like to tell them stories and maybe see them share those stories with somebody else?
Yeah, it actually builds a relationship with the students, because when you tell your stories and you tell some historical stories, they relate to it. They can see that, oh, you know, some things have not changed as much as they would think. Or I would always say, for students, I would tell them, and say, as you grow older, you realize how smart your parents are, really are. So, right. You know, it's one of those things where you build those relationships through stories and storytelling. And right. When we look back into, you know, our ancestors and how we shared histories and shared family information and shared our ancestors' stories, it was through the griot. And the griot was the storyteller, and that's what they did. They sat down around a fire, and they learned, and the griot told the stories and the histories of the tribe or of the country or their ancestors. And so that's how you learned, and learning through history also gives you builds character and give you those pathways of how you could be successful in life. So,
all right. Okay. So you got a little bit of it right there, a little bit of history and the story about history.
Always.
And going over to mathematics, so, you know, for me, because I was an English guy, I'm a story, you know, story guy, math was challenging. I think the first C that I ever got was in math. I was all A's and B's, and then here comes this C out of nowhere.
Yeah, you needed to be in my class. I would have helped you out.
So how challenging is it? How rewarding is it? I know math is an area, you know, where the district is seeking to improve. And, you know, it's an area where a lot of students struggle with math. A lot of students are like me, where math is something that you really have to work at. Just tell us about your affinity for math, how you teach math, and how important is math for our scholars.
Well, you know, I was always just interested in learning. So just like with learning history, math and physics and calculus, all of those subjects came kind of easy to me. But I will tell you a story really quick. When I was young, for whatever reason, I think I got hit in the eye or something. I had to wear glasses for a while. And so I was on the football team for Matthew Dickey's, of course, the best best boys and girls club out there. I had to wear the glasses, and I wasn't too happy to have to wear these glasses, but I looked like
thick glasses. Now
they were just little thin ones, but they
looked
like a little professor, like actually like I was going on
the circular ones.
Circular ones. Okay. Like I was going on a scavenger hunter. But one of the parents said, "Look at you. You look like a little professor." And so she started calling me the little professor. And then all of the parents started calling me the little professor. And so then when new parents or new people came around, they were like, "Oh, you're the professor. You must be smart. You must be smart." And I'm like, yeah, you know, and I started believing
it.
Right. And so, you know, once I started believing what they were calling me, it was over, man. It was a wrap. School just became easy. I believed in myself. And, you know, that's one of those self-fulfilling prophecies. And that's why they talk about how important words are, you know, though, and how important to encourage and say positive words and not negative words. The fact that they were saying the positive words toward me, you know, the parent could have said, "Oh, you little four eyes," you know, or put me down.
Yeah.
But she called me a little professor, and the nickname stuck. And so then I started believing that I was the professor. I started believing that I was intelligent. And once I believed, it was nothing I couldn't accomplish.
Right.
And I tell students till this day that if I wanted to retire and go be a airplane pilot, I could, because I believe that much in myself. If I want to go be a rocket scientist, I could. And so that's why it's so important to encourage and say good words. So that was why. You know, that was one of the stories of that got me to just learning was just in me, instilled in me to want to learn. But when it came to math, I was able to visualize math and see it in different ways.
Okay.
And so It was interesting. I went into my fifth grade class yesterday, and they were doing a lesson on fractions and adding fractions. Mm-hmm. And so I started breaking it down to them in how the kids can relate into money. And we talk about, you know, 1/4 is a quarter, 1/10 is a dime, 1/20 is a nickel, you know, and so right. different things like that. And so I started relating it to money. And then after we started looking at it as money, they were like, oh, I get it. I get it. So it's one of those things where sometimes if you know where your scholars are, you understand, you know, how they learn, it's a lot easier. So math was something that just was easy for me. And I wasn't planning on doing math and coming into teaching. Mm-hmm. I was actually going into mathematics to be an actuarial science, you know, in actuarial science, the actuaries.
Okay.
So I was doing it for the money. I was. But no, I actually had the opportunity to do some teach calculus and teach algebra and geometry in a summer program. And there were a few young men. We were mentors to some of the young men. And there was a few young men that were on that fence of hanging out in the streets mm-hmm. with gangs, or, you know, they were intelligent. And after that summer, and we came around to the next year, they were on campus at the University of Missouri Science and Technology. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? What you guys doing up here? And it's like, hey, because of you, we decided to come to Rolla. And I'm like, what? Nice. And man, that feeling
right.
that I got right there, that was one of the best feelings I ever felt in my life. And so that's when my calling came. Okay. I actually wind up changing my major from mechanical engineering, and I went into mathematics. But from there, it just, you know, snowballed into me having to get into education. It wasn't the plan, but it has worked out a lot. So 27 years later, I've All hopefully right. made differences in some of our young people's lives.
Yeah. Well, clearly you made a difference in those young men's lives. Like I said, yeah. the kids I see run up and hug you every day. I'm sure that you're making a difference
yes, sir.
In their lives. Can you talk a little bit about like the changes in teaching math? Because I know, you know, math, the way it was taught when you were in school, mm-hmm. when I was in school, is different than yeah. it's taught now. And I'm not in the classroom every day, so I don't really even fully understand the differences, but I hear about them a lot. And I'm sure a lot of our parents are wondering like, hey, what's up with this new math, quote unquote. So can you just yeah. talk about the change in strategies or
yeah, how so, math yeah, started? Right. And it's interesting because math is the oldest subject, I would say, you know, without math, none other would exist, you know, but that's coming from a math guy. Right. Yeah, growing up, math in our days, math was more taught rote. So, you know, you keep doing it until you got it. You know, 1 times 1 is 1. 1 times 2 is 2. You know, just keep going until mm-hmm. you just memorize. So it was rote memory. Nowadays, the thing is that our students are in a technology driven society, and information. If you want to find information, if I'm having a conversation with you and we are talking about tiddlywinks, we're looking up on our phones what tiddlywinks are. And right. You know, it's no going to the encyclopedia or going to the library, looking up and doing research. Information comes quick. And I like to call our scholars a TikTok generation. If you can't give it to them in 15 seconds, mm-hmm. you lost them, right?
Gotcha.
So so you have to be able to integrate technology into it. You have to be able to relate to how they gather information and how they see information. And so it's no more where a kid will sit down for an hour just, you know, plugging through situations. It says, hey, get me interested, bring me into that subject. You know, you have right. to, they say, is what's the hook? Mm-hmm. How do you hook me in? So you have to be able to hook them in. And one big hook I always like to use with math is money. Right. We all love money. And if you can relate money to what that subject is or that process of how to find out the answer, kids love money.
Right.
And so, but you also have to use technology within that. And I'm a believer that if you can use the technology and get the kids hooked in and get them learning the math, then once they learn the math, you can go and start doing that, finding out the theories of why or how this is happening. So you can even go deeper with them once you got them hooked in.
Right.
Yeah, but if you don't hook them in, or you're it's hard to try to go deeper with them and do more complex problems if you can't get them to understand it. Right. So utilizing technology and really being able to hook the students is the most important thing I think that they have to do nowadays as a teacher and as a parent.
And why do you think, last math question, but why do you think math is important? Because a lot of people, you know, a parent may look and say, well, I have a calculator, I have Google, I can Google it. So why is it so urgent that our youth know how to do math and understand math on their own?
Yeah, right. With math, it's not even about the answer. It's about the process. Mm. And so math teaches you how to problem solve. Of course, you know, if you look at English, it teaches you how to read and write and be creative and imagine things. But math teaches you a process to be able to have a problem in front of you, figure out what steps you need to take to get to solve this problem.
Right.
And so you are learning problem solving skills. You're learning how to take a method and put it and apply it to life. So actually learning math, you apply math skills to everyday life.
Right.
Anything you do. If you are have to change a flat tire, there's a process in doing it. You can't lift the car up and the flat tire off the road and then start trying to unscrew the things because, you know, the tire will run around. So, so you have to know a process.
Right.
You have to know you got to unloosen your bolts first, then jack it up, then do that. But that's what math teaches you is processes and you learn to be methodical when you do things. So math is definitely important in your life and there are so many skills. If you got in a small apartment and you have all this furniture that you got to get in this apartment, you have to be able to have spatial recognition and geometric shapes of how things could fit and make it look good. There are some people who can do math every day. They can go in and design a bedroom with the colors, the shapes, the right furniture and all of that. And they don't realize that they just did the whole geometry problem. So,
interesting. And you mentioned changing a spare tire. I think that needs to be taught in schools, too, because a lot of people now, and it's not just kids, a lot of grown folks have no idea what to do.
See, they use technology. And dial AAA service.
Or somebody else. And sometimes those trucks are 2 hours away. So
exactly.
Learn how to change their flat tires. It's not that difficult, but it's
a
important.
It's a process.
Right. So, and you mentioned a little earlier, you said you could retire and go do something else. I know that, you know, you have shared that you intend to retire at the end of the 23-24 school year. So, congratulations on that.
Thank you, sir.
And what do you have planned for the future?
That's the thing. I have not much planned. My overall plan is to move to warmer climate and ride my bike. I'm an avid bike rider.
You love bike riding. Yeah.
I'm an avid bike rider, and I want to be able to I've had the couple of summers ago, I had the opportunity to hang out in a warmer climate over the Christmas break, and I was riding my bike almost every day.
Okay.
I mean, just to be able to get out and see nature and enjoy life. And that's the thing, you know, you don't want to – that's what's important about your education, too. It's not to say that we want you to learn everything that's inside that book, but we want you to have the skills to learn things when you need it. So – and that's what we call a lifelong learner. And with knowledge, there's nothing you can't achieve. And so that's why it's so important as far as education. There's nothing you can't achieve if you have knowledge within – That's your, that brain is the biggest muscle you have, the best muscle, the strongest muscle is your brain. And so you want to expand it as much as you can. Yeah.
Absolutely. And the one thing the brain won't do, I guess it'll guide it, but it won't pedal that bike for you. No. So you got to get those leg muscles together and
eat healthy, stay in shape.
Yeah, but that sounds pretty cool. Like,
yeah, so that's my plan is to find a warm climate place, maybe on somebody's beach, and just relax and live life. Enjoy life. Enjoy nature. Enjoy being out. Enjoy just being with friends and family. So, yeah.
Gotcha. And what advice would you give to a young scholar, you know, on any of the levels, elementary, middle, high school? But, you know, what do you think maybe is the most important thing for them to know, you know, just as they're going through life about education or life in general?
Right. The most important thing is to believe in yourself, you know, and your choices and your decisions are for you. You have to understand that setting yourself up in the best light that you can possibly do. And that's why knowledge is so important. Learning is so important. So have that drive to be the best and learn as much as you possibly can. And once again, it's not that all of your knowledge is going to come from a book or it's going to come from a school. You try to learn whenever you, as you breathe, as you walk down the street, learn, seek knowledge all the time. And that's what would be the advice that I would say is believe in yourself and seek knowledge.
Awesome. Was there anything else going on at Danforth that you want to mention before we wrap up?
Oh, yeah. Today we just had our PBIS silent dance party, which was pretty cool. The kids got to wear their own hit sets and tune into their own set of music. Nice. And I will say silent parties are the best. If you're a parent out there and you want to do a dance party or something, do silent parties because it's quiet. It's beautiful.
Right.
And you wonder why people are moving around and going dancing around in circles. But, oh, man, the peace there is it's peaceful and they're having a fun time. So that's cool. With Danforth, we're preparing for getting ready for our STAR testing and our MAP testing and ramping up and doing all that. At the end of the year, we have our kindergarten promotion ceremony and our fifth grade promotion ceremony and our field day. My parents, a shout out to Ms. Times and Ms. Strickland, two of our board members of our parent, our president and treasurer, and they are doing an amazing job with making sure that our scholars have a awesome time and a fun time as we finish up this year. Also, a shout out to Miss Walters and Miss Trice, who have been helping out with that PTO opportunities and activities. So we have a lot coming up. Like I said, we continue to do work with the Building Futures, iKarate, COCA, and all of the extracurricular activities. And parents, Saturdays, we have flag football. So the elementary schools are participating in flag football, awesome. Which is awesome. So I would say Danforth is heading in the right direction. We are not only providing opportunities for students, our teachers are working hard and improving on themselves as far as making sure that our kids get the best education possible. So Danforth is moving in the right direction. We're not moving at light speed, but we are moving. So that's a good thing.
Awesome. Wonderful. And did you say, I think I remember, did Danforth win the elementary basketball league?
Dragons.
Shout out to the Dragons basketball
team. We have a sweep. The boys are the champions and the girls were champions. And now when I say those games, the last game was so intense. Oh, man, it was a good one. But both games were amazing. Shout out to our scholars for doing that. Also, just shout out to all of the elementary schools that have been doing great things. I think the Masters won the Spelling Bee, I believe, and we also had Science Fair. I want to say it might have been Gibson or Moline. But the one thing I will say about Riverview Gardens, as we conclude, is that I've been in 5 different districts across the St. Louis metropolitan area. I've worked in 5 different districts. And this is the one district that I feel that there is a true family Absolutely. Vibe. And from the high school on down to all of the elementary schools, from the board members on down to the custodians, this is a true family feel where people honestly care about the students. They honestly care about each other and making sure that we right. grow together. It's just interesting because I met one of the custodians on my way in here. Mm-hmm. And he remembers me from when I worked at the high school, and we talked, and he didn't have questions about the school. He was just checking on me and making sure life was good.
Right.
So those are the type of people that you have in the Riverview Garden School District. Those are the type of students that you have. They love hard, you know, and I will say Riverview Garden alumni, they are definitely fanatical about Riverview Gardens, but I truly understand right. why. This is a true family oriented district. And so as this district move forward, as we talk about the new view on the horizon, we are going to get back to greatness. And with that being said, you know, I may be officially returned as a principal and moving on in life, but I would never separate my ties from Riverview Gardens. Out of all the districts, I will definitely be remain connected to Riverview Gardens School District.
All right. Well, that is amazing. That's the way to wrap up the show. I don't even want to add anything else but say thank you for joining. To all our listeners, thank you for listening. Again, we're here with Dominic Lenoir, the principal of Danforth Elementary, and as you can see, a very wise and insightful individual. So thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Until next week, see you later.